you have your Bibles, turn to 1 Peter chapter 5. Starting in verse 5, we are going to conclude our series on 1 Peter, as we have started this series back in August. And my desire, my hope, that through this series, through this exposition of this letter, that you got a bigger vision of Jesus. In the midst of suffering, suffering is a result of maybe your own sin. Suffering is a result of just nature as itself, as we witnessed in Nepal and the suffering that is taking place there. And then really the theme of 1 Peter, which is suffering as a result of living out in obedience to Jesus Christ. The persecution that you will inevitably receive. My desire is that as you live out your walk with Jesus Christ, you can come back to this letter and continue to get a vision of Jesus. Our hope, right? 1 Peter chapter 5, starting in verse 5. Clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility toward one another. For God opposes the proud and gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves. Therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that the proper time he may exalt you. Casting all of your anxieties on him, because he cares for you. Be sober-minded. Be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. Resist him. Firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brothers, the brotherhood, throughout the world. And after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To him be dominion forever and ever. Amen. By Silvanus, a faithful brother, I regard him. I have written to you briefly, exhorting and declaring that this is the true grace. Stand firm in it. Let me just pray. Father, our desire is to learn from your word. Holy Spirit, give power to these words and illuminate your scriptures so that we might leave here changed for your glory, that we might truly understand what it means to suffer with grace. For it's in your name I pray, in Jesus' name, amen. I was talking to a guy a while back. I just met this gentleman, and we got together in the office, and he began to share with me. I invited him to attend something with me, and just trying to get to know this guy. And he came to the office, and he began to share with me his story, his life story. He talked about the struggles he was having in regards to his family and his job, and just overall his walk with Christ. It was just a struggle. started talking a lot about all the circumstances that surround him and all the pressures. And he was just ready to give up. Just be done with it all. Either the circumstances would change or he was done. I listened. I didn't say much because I didn't know him. I didn't want to hammer him yet. But I listened. And all I said to him was this. I said, would you just, starting tomorrow, get a vision of Jesus? I mean, just think deeply on the gospel of Jesus Christ. Just you personally. Don't worry about what's going on with anybody else. You think deeply about Jesus. I encouraged him to do that. Well, we started to get together on a regular basis. And just a few weeks ago, as we were meeting, he turned to me and he said, remember the first time we met? I said, absolutely. And with tears streaming down his face, I mean, he was leaking. He said, I can't believe how proud I was and am. I told you all the things that were going in my life and all the circumstances that were causing me stress in my family, in my job, in everything, and just telling you that all these things are the reason why I'm struggling. He said, how prideful I was. He said, Greg, the real problem is me. I lost my vision of Jesus. I remember thinking as he was saying those things, this is 1 Peter. This is what Peter is talking about. It has nothing to do with your circumstances and everything to do with your vision of Jesus Christ in the midst of your suffering. In verse 12 of this section, we see Peter's purpose in writing this letter. Now listen, the title of this series has been Suffering for the Glory of God. God's desire to use suffering in your lives to produce something for His glory. So, go to verse 12 with me, and I'm actually going to read the New Living Translation of this. So if you don't have that kind of Bible, just look up here. But I think it really summarizes the purpose of this and what that person was saying to me in my office. Listen, it says this in verse 12 in the NLT version. It says, my purpose in writing is to encourage you and assure you that what you are experiencing is truly of God's grace for you. Stand firm in His grace. The ESV translation says, I've written to you briefly, exhorting. The word exhorting means to encourage. I'm encouraging you and declaring, which comes from personal experience, Peter is saying, I am declaring something from personal experience that this, or the experience, meaning suffering, that you're experiencing is all part of God's plan. Stand firm in God's grace. That's the purpose. Listen, whether you're suffering as a result of the government's hand on you, as 1 Peter chapter 3 talks about, or you're suffering as a result of your boss and the work environment you're in, or you're suffering as a result of the hostility within your own home, your wife or your husband or your kids, whatever you're suffering for, God desires to give you grace. What does that mean? Grace. Why do we have to suffer? Didn't Peter say this in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 6 and 7? The reason we have to suffer? Look with me on 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6 and 7. It says this: in this you rejoice. What's the this? Again, the suffering. Though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials. And that the tested genuineness of your faith, which is more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found as a result in the praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. What Jesus is saying is, listen, you will suffer in obedience to and for me, but what it is producing in you a genuineness of faith in Christ. A testimony that God is building to be a testimony to others. Paul says the same thing in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 in regards to why you have afflictions, why we have sufferings. It says this: blessed be the God of our Father and Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all of our affliction, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort that which we ourselves received and were comforted by. For as we share abundantly in Christ's sufferings, so through Christ we share abundantly in comfort too. Have you ever heard someone say, God won't give you anything you can't handle? That's bull. Okay? I won't add anything after that, but that's bull. I promise you, you cannot handle any trial unless it's with God. That's what Peter's trying to say here as he concludes this chapter. You need the grace of God. Yes, we need the grace of God for salvation, but in our sanctification, in our suffering for obedience, you need God's grace. Grace is God coming alongside of you. We're going to learn more about that here in a little bit. But Peter says, listen, you have to stand firm in God's grace while you're suffering. Three times he uses it. Stand firm in God's grace. So here's the question I have. We're going to get to the points, I promise. But I need to build this in. Who of you, Christ followers, wants the grace of God in suffering? Okay, seems like a rhetorical question, right? How many of you want God to come alongside you while you're suffering for the glory of God? Do you want to do it alone? Okay, can I get a no? Thank you. Okay, you ready? What God is saying is he wants to come alongside you. He wants to pour out his power on you while you're suffering. But there's a prerequisite. God desires to pour his grace on suffering, but he desires something from you. Peter writes in verse 5, look at it again. Clothe yourselves with all of you, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another. For God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. So humble yourselves, therefore, before the mighty hand of God, so that in the proper time he might exalt you. Do you want the grace of God in suffering? Then you must be humble. Dang it. You're telling me that I don't get grace for being, you know, just prideful? That God's just not going to pour out his grace just because, you know, I am who I am? Listen, God desires humility. And then he'll pour his grace on you. Let's define humility. C.S. Lewis, I think, to me, gives the best definition for humility. He says this, humility is not thinking less of yourself, but thinking of yourself less. Think about that for a second. Humility is not thinking less of yourself. Oh man, I just really stink at basketball. Man, I just really can't, you know, but thinking of yourself less. That is genuine humility. One of the things I asked when I was studying this section of scripture is, God, why would I need humility in the midst of suffering? Doesn't suffering in itself produce humility? I mean, shouldn't it? I mean, if I'm suffering, shouldn't I just be broken? Isn't that just a natural humility? Listen to me. This is very important. It is one thing to be humbled. It is another thing to be humble. You might very well be suffering because God is trying to humble you. It doesn't mean you're humble. That's a very important point, because in this context, he is talking about suffering. Naturally, you should think, holy cow, we should be absolutely humble. But that's not the case. Often. Oftentimes we think in the midst of suffering we can do it alone. But God is saying you can't. You need my grace. You need me to come alongside you in your suffering so that you might glorify him. But here's what we say in our pride. We say, well, suffering's too hard. Submitting to the government that I hate, that's too hard. Submitting to my boss, I mean, do you know my boss? Way too hard. Do you know my husband? Have you met my wife? Suffering is way too hard. Our sin nature tells us that if it's too hard, don't do it. Avoiding suffering at all cost is what pride tells you. Your pride says no to God. This isn't what I signed up for when I became a Christian. Did you know that of all the things God hates, pride tops the list? Look at Proverbs chapter 6 with me really quick. It says this. There are 6 things that God hates, that the Lord hates. 7 are an abomination to him. You ready? Haughty eyes. That's the word for pride. Thinking of yourself better than you ought. Thinking you can do it alone. Look at Proverbs chapter 8 verse 13 with me. The fear of the Lord is hatred of evil. Pride and arrogance and the way of evil and perverted speech I hate. Did you know that the devil aims to encourage your pride? The devil aims to spark your pride like he did with Adam and Eve, to question God's goodness. In the midst of your life, did God really say you can't do? Did God really say that you can't? Did God really say you have to suffer? Did God really say you have to submit? So what happens when pride enters a walk with Christ? Look what verse 5 says. It says, he will oppose you. The Greek word literally means he's going to turn his face away from you. Seems pretty harsh, huh? God opposes pride. What pride is saying that you don't need God. Grace says, I want to come alongside you, give you power in your suffering. And we say, uh-uh, I can do it alone. Peter's writing this letter saying, you can't do it alone. I want to come alongside you. If you don't desire God's grace, keep the pride up. If you don't want God's grace, keep the pride up. By the way, how's that working for you? How's that working for you? Humility is the avenue of grace. So let's look at them. I have six things that I see from this scripture. Let's pound through these puppies. How many of you want grace in the midst of suffering? Can I get an amen? Do you want God's grace to come alongside you while you're suffering in obedience to Jesus Christ? Amen. I want this grace. So what's the first thing you do? Humility says, clothe yourselves. Humility looks like clothing ourselves. The word literally means to put yourselves in other people's shoes. Humility looks at other people's needs before their own. God says, you want my grace? Think about others. Think about your family. Think about your testimony. Get a vision of Jesus. Clothe yourselves. Get yourself off you. Put yourself in other people's shoes. That's what that word clothe means. Clothe yourselves with humility says look at others first. This should not cause us. Pride says, man, did you see that guy getting persecuted? Did you see that person walking with Jesus and that person did that to them? No, thank you. I'm out of here. I'm going to be one of those armchair Christians that just complains about everyone else. Everyone else is, they're the reason why I'm really bad. Jesus says, you want grace? Clothe yourselves with humility. Think about others first. Isn't that what Jesus did? While he went to the cross, while we were sinning, Christ died for us. Humility looks like putting ourselves under God's authority. Look at verse 6 again with me. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he might exalt you. Under the mighty hand of God. Humility looks like submission. Humility looks like saying, God, you're in control. God, your plans for my life are good in the midst of a government that hates you, in the midst of a boss that persecutes you, in the midst of husbands and wives bickering and fighting, maybe not living for the Lord. That is God's plan for you. Submit. We're all called to submit. Humility says, absolutely. Where else can I go? For you have the words of eternal life. You want God's grace? You want his favor in the midst of your suffering in obedience? Then put on humility and submit to God and his word and his plan. Humility says, of course I'm going to do that. Of course I'm going to submit. I mean, he did create the world in six days. I mean, he's obviously in control. Humility says, of course I'll submit. Of course I'll listen to what God says in his word. Pride says, not fair. Not fair. God didn't tell me that this was what my life was going to look like. Pride says, I'll only submit when things are going great, not when they're bad. That gentleman I talked to, that's what he realized. That's when God's grace poured out, that it wasn't them, it was him. Humility says, God, you're in control. And I submit under your mighty hand. You want God's grace? You want God to come alongside you? Admit he's in control. Humility looks like verse 7, putting our anxieties at his feet because he cares for you. Verse 7, again, it says, casting all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. Listen, humility, the word cast literally means to hand it over. Hand over your anxieties. The word anxiety literally means worry. If you translate it out, it literally means the very thing that's pulling you apart. Do you ever feel like the world is pulling you apart? Do you ever feel like you just can't handle it and you're just feeling like you're stretched and being pulled apart? That, my friends, is anxiety. Jesus, humility looks like this. I'm giving it over to you, God. The word cast means I'm handing it over. Humility says, God, this is meant to grow me. Humility says, God, you're in control. Help me to grow in grace. Come alongside me in my anxieties. Come alongside me in my worries. Come alongside me when I feel like life is pulling me apart. And Jesus says, then humble yourself. Quit thinking you can do it alone. And submit to his plan in your life. And God will pour his grace on you. Humility looks like verse 8 and 9. It looks like being alert and fighting the devil. Look at 8 and 9 again. It says, be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. Humility looks like being alert. The word sober-minded literally means to not get overly excited about everything. Calm down. That's what it's saying. Don't get so bent out of shape when things don't go your way. That's what it means to be sober-minded. Control freaks like me have a real problem with this one. Sober-minded, not getting bent out of shape when it doesn't go my way. Humility says that's all part of God's plan. It's all part of his plan. Be watchful, it says. The word literally means to look out for danger. It even carries the translation to avoid danger. Get out of the way of danger. In Proverbs chapter 7, verses 8, 9, and 25, it says this in regards to, you know, that avoidance of sin. Proverbs 7, 8, and 9 says, passing along the street near her corner, this is the adulterous woman. So in other words, this guy, he's saying, he's passing along the street near her corner, taking the road to her house. Verse 9, in the twilight, in the evening, at the time of night and darkness. And then verse 25, it says this. Let not your heart turn aside to her ways. Do not stray unto her paths. Listen to me. Humility says, I'm in a war. And if I don't get off the path of my sin, the very thing that leads me to sin, I mean, let's not kid ourselves. If you struggle with sin, you know exactly the path that leads you there. You just don't want to get off it. That's pride. How's that working for you? It doesn't work for me very well. It causes me much anguish and frustration and shame and guilt. All the things that the devil wants to put on me, yet God wants to pour his grace on me. But he says, be watchful, be alert, and fight the devil. The words stand, the resist, are offensive things. You can go to Ephesians chapter 6, where Paul addresses this battle with the demons and principalities. Listen, we are in a war. If you don't realize that, your pride is going to get you in trouble. Humility absolutely says, this is war. And I want God to come alongside me. Do you want his grace? I think Peter knew exactly what he was talking about here. Obviously written by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. But listen, remember back in Luke 22? When Jesus was, right before he was to be crucified, what did he say to Peter? Simon, Simon, behold, Satan demanded to have you, that he might sift you like wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail. Did it? Did it? He denied him 3 times. And when you have turned again, strengthen your brothers. That's a picture of the grace that Peter received in John 21. I'll get to that here in a little bit. Do you realize, follower of Jesus Christ, that he that is in you is greater than he that is in the world? So clothe yourselves with humility. Humble yourselves before the mighty hand of God. Be alert and fight the devil because he is in you. Humility says you have victory because you have Christ. The final one, found in verse 9, says this. You want humility? Here's what humility looks like. Here's where you can get the grace of God in the midst of your suffering. Not only clothe yourselves, put yourselves under God's authority, putting your anxieties, being alert, but the last one is in verse 9. It says this. Firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of sufferings are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. What is he saying there? Humility says this. I know that I'm not alone. That what I'm experiencing, the suffering that I'm experiencing for the glory of God, is happening throughout the whole world. Pride says, man, am I the only one that's being persecuted? Am I the only one with this kind of a husband or this kind of a wife? Am I the only one with this kind of a job? I mean, is God just picking on me? That's what pride says, because then what happens is you avoid suffering for the glory of God. You avoid it because your pride tells you you're all alone. Peter says, listen, you're not alone. To suffer for the glory of God is happening throughout the world. You're on a good team. Does that encourage you? It encourages me. You know, in 1 Corinthians it says there is no sin that is uncommon. It's all common. Every sin you've committed has been committed by someone else. And God is saying, listen, it's not uncommon. You're not alone, and I will provide a way out for you. Grace says, I want to come alongside you like I do your brothers and sisters around the world. God, give us humility. As you go back and you study these verses, you ask God to give you humility. Not to think less of yourself, but to think of yourself less. As we close, God desires to give you grace. And he describes it. He tells you, listen, when you put on this humility, you ready? I'm going to come alongside you. I'm going to be right there with you. I'm going to give you my power in the midst of your suffering, and I am going to shower you with my grace. Look at verse 10. And after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to an eternal glory in Christ, will what? Restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. That's what God's grace promises. The word restore literally means to mend. Peter uses the word like he did with his fishing nets. After each fishing excursion, whatever they did, they had to mend their nets every single time. Peter uses this word because he knows what it's like to be mended by God. Right? John 21, while he was on the shore, Jesus said, feed my sheep, tend my sheep, feed my sheep. Do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? God restored him because Peter was humble. He acknowledged his pride got in the way, and God mended him. Listen, God's desire is to pour out grace and mend you in your suffering. He's going to mend you. Says he's going to confirm you. The best way I can illustrate this is this. My wife of 16 years, praise the Lord, for Father's Day last year, gave me a tree. You're thinking, come on, can you get better than a tree? No, I love trees. Especially the tree she got me, which was a willow tree. I love those willow trees. Because when I was a little kid, I used to swing on those things like Tarzan. I loved willow trees. I want my kids to do that. And that's going to take a while because it was a small tree. But I love this tree. But one of the things we had to do with this tree because of the storms of this world is we had to put stakes to prop it up. The word confirm literally means to prop you up like stakes. God's grace aims to prop you up when you're struggling. To hold you when the storms come. To keep you straight and firm. That's God's grace. To strengthen. You know the Greek word literally means to strengthen? God desires to strengthen you in your suffering. To come alongside you and give you his power. And then the word establish. Restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish. The word literally means to set you again on a firm foundation. God desires in your suffering to get you back to a vision of Jesus. Just like the gentleman I met. The problem wasn't his circumstances. The problem wasn't everybody else. The problem was him. The problem is you. The problem is me. In the midst of suffering, we have to come alongside our God and Savior. He desires to come alongside us while we're suffering. But he will oppose you if you are prideful. If you think you can do this alone, how's that working for you? God desires to give you grace. But don't ever forget this. If you don't know him, he desires to give you the grace through faith, which is not of yourselves, but a gift from God, not by works, so that no one can boast. God desires to give you grace in salvation, the forgiveness of your sins, the wrath that you surely deserve. He desires to pour out his grace. But you know what the prerequisite for his grace is? Your faith and belief. Yes, I know, it's undeserved favor. But listen, you have to believe. or you will not experience the grace of God. And you will get what you deserve because of your pride. I am calling you, church, if you have never humbled yourself, not think less of yourself, but not think of yourself as much, and realize that you're a sinner before a holy God and confess your need for Him, then you need to be saved today. This letter is written to those who know Christ. I'm praying that today you really will know Him and the forgiveness that He offers in Himself. Those of us who know Jesus, God desires to come alongside you in your suffering. Humble yourself. Let's pray. Gracious Father, Lord, it saddens me that we're coming to an end. This book has changed my life. Lord, my prayer is that your church at High Point, would be a church that humbles themselves, that we would continually humble ourselves so that your grace might be poured out on us, so that we might really suffer for the glory of God and receive joy and peace and hope, because you are our hope. Jesus, thank you. For it's in your name I pray. Amen.